Two weeks ago, I started the first part of a mini series on God's voice, and I'm going to run down a couple of the things because maybe one or two of you guys didn't make it. But that's something that's very special to me. Just a quick testimony. Where's Demi now? Well, there's Demi. Thank you that you had shared it. It's just awesome how God. She said two things, and I actually want to maybe quickly relate this testimony to both. Firstly, was God doesn't seek sacrifice. That sounds weird to us sometimes, because for many people, especially looking from the outside in, Christianity looks like this massive sacrifice. Yet, when it's in a place of relationship and God just moves you, then it's something totally different. If it's from the inside out, if it's spirit led. And then the second thing was, with regards to this testimony, is just what you shared on that tank of petrol, is that God doesn't seek sacrifice necessarily, He seeks obedience. And Ek and Edna, we were still staying in, I think it was Vriendestraat in Cape Town. I was doing my articles. Now you can ask Ralph how much an article clock in law receives as a monthly remuneration, and it's not much. And Edna was, I think, almost still studying or starting out as a teacher. So bottom line is, it was more or less this time of the month. What is it, the 23rd or 24th? And I think we had about 250 or 300 rand left, which might sound a lot, but it wasn't. I was still working out in the northern suburbs, so that could have lasted maybe 2-3 days. Now, it was Friday afternoon, we were young married couple without children. Now, staan julle weet hoe wat 'n groot vryheid dit kan wees. Jy het nog nie kinders nie, maar we don't have deep pockets. Ons het net hierdie paar rand oor. We only have this couple of bucks left, and we were like wondering, Lord, what should we do? And we have this big thing of, I realized in my life, doing my own thing, even in the little stuff, usually just ends up a bit of a waste. So I just, since I became a Christian and started to walk a close road with the Lord, I ask Him about everything. God to me is my Father. So I'll ask Him, Lord, what do we have to do on a Friday night? We really am, but I've noted how cool a get-together can be in God, in the Spirit, or just something you do, just a fruit. But anyway, so we prayed and we racked our brains. What are we going to do? We don't have much money, but we want to do something. There's something on our heart. And later on, it became a bit of a fight, because what are we hearing? What is God saying? And after about an hour and a half, Edna or I just said, well, weet jy wat? I just sensed the whole time God says Kalkacha's Kalkbar. Now that's a nice pizza place. Not a place that we'll go every day. Now, there's about a week left of the month, and I say, well, let's go have pizza at Kalkacha's in Camps Bay. So if there's any religious spirit here, they're going to leave now. Praise God. And she's dumbstruck, and her eyes just light up, and she, I don't know if she got teary, but probably did. And she said, well, that's exactly what God's been showing me for the last hour and a half. And we just realized that, well, obviously we went out, had the awesomest time ever, spent our last cent on pizza in Camps Bay. The bottom line is we were maybe so religious in thinking, well, it can't be this. God can't be doing this with our last couple of bucks. We went, it was awesome. The next morning, obviously we didn't have much, and we stopped at somebody we know very well, a family member, and they said, oh, well, I had this amazing deal, and I just want to bless you with something. And he gave us, I think it was 3,000 or 5,000 rand cash. He just blessed us with that because he had a deal or something. I can't remember the details. It's not about the money. It's not about 3,000 or 5,000 rand. It's about exactly what Demi said. God doesn't seek sacrifice, He seeks obedience. And in that is life. So we're out on a limb, eating pizza for the kingdom, enjoying ourselves. Hear the heart. But what is it? It's a place of trust, and it's out of a place of relationship. And I'm not saying, please guys, be irresponsible. Obviously God there supernaturally, His voice came and He spoke to both our hearts. We had a wrestle with our flesh, probably with demonic lies and that of an orphan spirit for an hour and a half, and then realize, well, oh, God wants to bless us with pizza. So anyway, so I just want to start off. That wasn't the, obviously wasn't the intro I planned, but that's God's heart, I believe. And sometimes it might be a sacrificial one of going to the cross. Might not be pizza at Calcutta's. So let's just keep the balance. But whatever, wherever God will lead, His voice will lead you, truly, His voice, no other. The fruit of that will be evident. And I believe the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard both your heart and your mind. I think I'm busy with a different sermon. But anyway, let's get to today's sermon. God's voice. I like to just check where we're at, what God has been saying the last couple of weeks. We kicked off with Mary, Martha and Mary. For those of you that are a bit tired of the story, please bear with us. It might still hang around for a bit, because I believe God's got intimacy, relationship, chatting to Him, hearing from Him personally, for us individually. Not for me, not for those of you that are real spiritual gurus. No, for everybody to connect with the Lord like Mary did. So we've been unwrapping the good part that Mary chose in the fact that she went and sat at Jesus' feet versus obviously what Martha was doing, and that was running around crazy. So we were unwrapping the good part, and we just said that in the good part, His voice, God's voice is very important. Last week I asked them, sorry, you can, Emmy, you can just leave it like that. There's not much that we can't give away. Last week, I looked at the importance, 2 weeks ago, I looked at the importance of God's voice. Now, I said, with regards to the platinum mine strike, that, man, as humans, we'll go through a lot of effort to get diamonds or gold or platinum or get good bonds or get a good investment or a nice property or at least get a good job. And we'll do a lot of trouble to get a lot of stuff in this life. Yet, how much, and it's, please, understand me right, it's not about effort. Yet, there's a place where God doesn't flaunt Himself. He doesn't dish out His voice on billboards. He might rhema a word on a billboard. But you understand the heart. What is the, I don't want to say the amount of trouble, but to what lengths will we go as a congregation, and we as individuals, to hear from God? How important is that still small voice to you daily? Can you breathe? Can you live? Can you move if you don't connect, if you don't hear that still small voice? Now, obviously, being a church and all, we need to go check what is written in the Bible. So, we just saw last week or 2 weeks ago that it's quite important to hear from God and to obey. And on the previous slide, you would have seen there's three dispensations, or there were three dispensations in the Word. Firstly, the one of the patriarchs. Emmy, if you don't mind, if you can go back two slides. Thanks. Emmy, you're giving away my sermon, but it's all right. For those of you that read quickly, you can go home now. We see you next week. There were three dispensations in the Bible. The one at the beginning, dispensation of the patriarchs, where God especially worked with the heads of homes. We look at Noah, we looked at Abraham, Isaac and David, obviously Jacob. God would speak to them, and that had a massive influence on their families. Then came the law for Israel, and God started to work collectively, speak collectively to Israel, the nation, His people. Now, we can go in that line at length, but we're not going to stop there. And then the last dispensation, the one in which we're still today, we find ourselves today, and that is the dispensation of the gospel, where God says, yes, I speak to you collectively, churches, etc., go to the nations, but I connect individually with you. So God spoke through all three dispensations. God spoke to His people, and there were two key things, hear and obey, hear and obey. And luckily for you, we looked at Scripture 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to go through all of them. We looked at the Old Testament, obviously, in the prophets, and then in the New Testament. My sheep will know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. I love the story of Samuel and Samuel's call. We had a look at that as well, how God came and He propelled Samuel into his destiny, into his calling. In 1 Samuel 3, Verse 10, the Lord came, stood there, and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. Now, he was a young son. He was a teenager, about 13, 12 or 13 years, they say. Samuel responded, obviously after Eli or Eli helped him. Samuel responded, saying, speak, for your servant is listening. And in that is a massive key, I believe, for us. Do you have and have you had and do you still have your Samuel moments where God comes? Not once, not twice, but three times. And then the fourth time you hear, you realize, this is God speaking to me. Do we still have that moment where we run up and down and wait, and then when he speaks, we hear? The importance of God's voice in our dispensation today or in our life today as Christians is really, really very important. Now, we know biblically speaking it is important, and I've been saying it quite a lot, so it might be important. But what is the result, what is the fruit of God's voice in our life? What is the result? And we all have our testimonies. All of us have a testimony or have a couple of testimonies of where God has spoken into your life. And let me just quickly pause there for those who are a bit worried. When I'm firstly not going to give a set list of what I believe this is God's voice. I think I'd do you and myself and God this justice if I try to number or try to list the ways in which God can speak to people. Obviously, God can speak into your heart. You can have a Moses burning bush experience. God can speak through his word. We're going to get to that just now. God can speak through, and I said it last week or 2 weeks ago, God can speak through a secular music song. God can speak through an unbeliever. God can speak through a donkey. So we're not going to get into the detail of that. Bottom line is, God's voice is paramount. God's voice is of utter importance in our life. And the result and the fruit of that is what? What is the result or the fruit of God's voice in our lives? What is the result or the fruit of God's prophetic voice for this congregation? We can flip that side and say, if we for 3 years do not hear anything from God, or we ignore it, or we're just not interested, where do you think the ship will be heading? I think it's shocking. Maybe we can still be here. Might be a dead bunch, but I think sometimes people can do church and can do Christianity without God's voice. Yet I don't know how much life or substance there's in that. I know, the expense is killing you guys. Let's move on to the next slide, Emmy, if you don't mind. It's just a bit of a teaser. We walk by faith and not by sight. Who of you can truly put up your hands and say, today I am full of faith? Full of faith. Who can say that? Stephen, lach jy oor jou hand opsteek. Hoekom sit jy hand in jou sakke? That's the other way around. Who of you guys need some faith? Maybe in particular area. Maybe you've got strong faith. Demi's quite sorted for petrol. She's got a nice testimony. Yet, there Stephen laughed again. Yet, there might be another area where God needs to pour out or stir or enhance her faith. I'd like to have more faith. Now let's move on. The result of hearing God's voice is obviously found in Scripture. Now, before we go to that point, all of you understand the difference between logos and rhema word. The logos word, and please, this is I'm not a theologian as such. Maybe someday, just before I die, I might become something like that. But at this stage, I'm not one. But in leke terme, the written word, the full counsel of God, or the second person in the Trinity being Jesus, the entire counsel of God is called the Logos. Many times, I'd like to state it as the written word of the Lord. This is his total counsel towards us. And then you get the Rhema word. Now, the Rhema word, who of you have read the Bible or read something or heard a song, and it feels like all of a sudden a scripture or a verse or a what's a refrain in English? It was a refrain, but it just sounded a bit weird. Or a verse just lights up or pops up or just ramas to you. Have, by the show of hands, have you guys experienced? You'll read a long piece of scripture, and all of a sudden, just one verse will just highlight. It's almost like you'll get this jolt in your stomach or in your inside, and you'll just know, well, somebody just put their finger on that. Now, that is the rhema. The rhema word is also called the spoken word. I speak, when I speak a word, I rhema to Philip. But in this context, obviously, luckily for him, we're speaking about God's rhema word. Now, God's rhema word is his spoken word. In other words, the words that God speaks to you. Logos, we said, it's just written word. The entire Bible we can see is the Logos. Yet some of that God will rhema to you. Another way put, if you should get the entire Logos into your system, you'll probably get it rhema by rhema. In other words, God will highlight it. He'll give you wisdom. He'll enlighten you, and it will become part of you step by step. And that's how we grow in the Lord, but that's not important. The importance is Logos, rhema. Rhema, God's spoken word. Remember that, and if you forget all the rest, it's fine. At last, we can move on. The fruit or the result of God's voice. Let's read Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a couple of us that raised our hands and said we need some faith, at least in one or two or six areas of our lives. There's some places where you're full of faith. This morning, Chris might, and Ophi might tell you, and Ralph might tell you that I was full of faith in intercession. Yet sometimes, you get to a place where you're not that full of faith. So faith then cometh. Faith comes by the hearing. You can get faith by hearing. Hearing what? By hearing the word of God. Now the nice thing about this is that what word of God are they referring to? Now you can do a simple Google search and you can go read just the original languages, but the word used here is obviously, and you could have guessed it, is the rhema word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing. Faith comes if you hear. If you hear what? If you hear the rhema word of God. In other words, put in my own terms, you'll be full of faith when God's voice, when God with his own voice comes and speaks something into your heart. How can you spend your last couple of bucks on a pizza when you don't know how to survive for the next week? When God comes, in this case, obviously by form of a vision and just an inner drop that he gave me and Edna, but God's voice coming to speak and saying, this is what you should do. Does that make sense? Whatever the mountain is you're facing, or might be facing, or might be facing in the future, the question is, what is the rhema word of God concerning that mountain? If you've got this stack of bills with highlighters on and stickers on and lost this and lost that and this color and that color, and if you don't pay, we're going to lock you up. If you're facing that, and you come and you ask, God, what are you saying? What is your word concerning this? If you're facing a difficult situation in a relationship, you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to do, what is God's rhema word to you? What is faith, guys? What is faith? The word says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, I like that. In a world that does not have that much substance, I like to hold on to something like substance or evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for,
the evidence of things unseen. Evidence of things unseen, that's just weird. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Die wete. You've heard people say, I know like I know like I love. Ek weet soos wat ek weet. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Now you want that. If you're facing a mountain, if you're facing a crisis, if we need to go ahead and proclaim this area for the gospel and for God's kingdom, we'd like to move out of a place of substance. We'd like to move out of a place of evidence. Where are we going to get that? From God. What is God's heart? What has it been through all the dispensations in the Bible? Speaking to his children, and for us to hear and to obey. When were the people of God, especially in the Old Testament, when were they strong and full of faith? Usually outnumbered. Usually not the strongest, biggest, coolest oaks. Sometimes the other guys. When were they full of faith? When God spoke and said, this is what I want you to do. So my challenge, or our challenge, is at this stage, is what is God saying in your life so that you can bear that fruit? Just by the way, that scripture obviously is Hebrews 1 verse 11. Oh, 11 verse 1, sorry. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We said in Romans that faith cometh by the hearing. Faith comes when God speaks something into your heart. Maybe another quick testimony to illustrate. I said we stayed in Vriende Street in Cape Town. After that, we moved to The Firs. It sounds a bit weird, The Firs. Like the furs on your dashboard type of the furs. But it was a nice apartment block where we bought our first flat. And it was right behind Jan van Riebeek High School in Cape Town. So it was, we loved the area. We just really loved staying there. It was an awesome flat. And we had great pals. I obviously started to work as an attorney. Edna had a nice job as a teacher. We had great friends. We had a nice social life. Now that I see him, Philip, we obviously did a bit of exercise as well. We did the Cape Town life quite nicely. We really enjoyed it. Yet, and I've told this story before, but there's a part of it that I believe is quite important, just to illustrate how God just gives us faith by speaking to us individually. Is that ons bou dit gejuk. That's just a term for there was something that we needed to do. God was tugging on our hearts. There was something more than becoming, in my case, and it might be the road that you need to walk, but there was something else for us than becoming a director or having my own law firm and Edna doing what she's doing. Us staying in Cape Town and having our nice life. And I said to you guys that I think it was April, I wrote it down, April or March of 2009, God just one morning in a quiet time just spoke to me clearly. But just before I say what he dropped on my heart, me and Edna, we both come out of broken homes. And so we've got a heart for solid family. God's blueprint for marriage, God's blueprint for family. We also come out of families where people are very busy. They're good at business. They're good at doing life. And we love them. This is not criticism. It's just a hunger that was inside our heart. So please hear that. There was a hunger to get back to basics. God, what is your heart? Is this life that we see, this rat race that we see in Cape Town, even though it feels nice, it looks good, we just see the end of it, the fruit of it, sometimes leads to destruction of families, of marriages, of lives, of children. God, we want you. We want your way. So ever since we met, we had this dream of moving to the platteland. And we thought that much of the answer, and I've said this before, is in the platteland. Now, to get back to what God said, God, one morning in my quiet time, merely came and he dropped very clearly into my heart, the words, pack up and go. Just like that, pack up and go. And I immediately, I didn't have to ask this and that and have a long discussion. I knew what he was referring to, and I knew what this was about. I didn't know where to, but I knew that he was saying to us that what was boiling on our hearts, what was on our hearts the whole time, he just came and he had his spyker op die kop geslaan. It's almost like you've built your fire, you've got nice dry rag grunts, and you've got your blitz, you've even got petrol on there, and all it needed was a lighter or box of matches just to get that lit. And it was as if God's voice, that one sentence, was as if that was the lighter that just lit up that fire. I went out to Edna, and she was hanging up washing. I think I've shared this before. And I said to her, "Wat is God vir ons sê ons moet trek?" I thought she might just freak out because we've got a nice life now. We sorted in all the areas we wanted to be sorted. We are sorted. Her reply to me was, "Well, dan moet ons seker maar trek." So immediately I knew God was speaking to her as well, and she confirmed later that God has been laying it on her heart. Long story short, we moved out to Malmesbury. I didn't get the job that I wanted to move for. I said to the Lord, "Well, as soon as I get that job and I want this amount of money out every month, we'll move." Obviously, it didn't work that way. Why am I telling this story? It's merely because nothing in this world would have gotten me out of my comfort zone, gotten me out of the place where I was, sorted, doing life, heading up the corporate ladder, running the rat race, and enjoying it. Nothing could have gotten me out of there, save for God's rhema word into my heart. Now, if any of you would come to me, and we love you, and we do love this church, and I'm just not surprised, I'm just overwhelmed at how quick we've just gotten to know you guys and grown into the church. But still, if any of you guys should come to me now and say to me the following,
"Back up and go."
That's, by the way, not the way God sounded. I would laugh it off, probably. Nothing you can say, save for if it's a rhema word of God, obviously. Nothing that any of you guys can say can persuade me, can turn my life to such a degree that I'll just back up and go. God had to speak that in my heart. God didn't explain it that much. Obviously, he confirmed it later. We were accountable. Faith cometh by the hearing. Hearing by what? The rhema word of God. In listening to that, we stand here today by God's grace. Things might have been totally different if we did not listen to or heed to God's voice. And as I've said before, the answer weren't the blood lung. The answer is Christ. I know our calling was to get out of the rat race. Get out of what, for us, again for us, was an Egypt thing, was for us slavery. And again, I say for me and my house, this is not a generalization, please. It's a testimony. But what we actually just had this massive urge to get out of the bondage and the slavery that we were in. And the only way we could have had the faith to take that leap, to make that jump, was the Rhema word. The Rhema word of a loving God saying, "Back up and go." Was it hard? It was bloody hard. It was bloody hard sometimes. It was 4 years and we both lost our jobs in Malmesbury. I've said before, my parents-in-law thought I was probably on some sort of drug. But we had a long road to walk with God. But we had a Rhema word to hold on to. A steadfast, sure as you can know, word of God. That just stirred a faith that nobody else's words could have given us. And then the second testimony, just that lovely flat that we had. We bought that, obviously, as the Lord led us. We thought, well, yes, Lord, this will lack a plek, and thank you, Father God. And by the grace of God, the interest rates came down, I think, twice or three times in that particular year, so we could afford it, and we really enjoyed it. Now God said, pack up and go. So we had to obviously sell this nice flat, which is part and partial of following Jesus sometimes. Praise God, we had something to sell. But we still had a lot of debt on it. Obviously, we bought it, I think it was 18 months before. Now, I went to the Lord and said, Lord, what's the price? What should we put it in the market for? Obviously, you've got agents, and I don't know if there's any, is there any agents here? Amazing mense, natuurlijk lente. Behalve vir lente, geloof ek nie altyd noodwendig. No, they've got their market values, and we didn't necessarily agree with the six valuations that we got for our flat. So I took God's valuation of our flat, and I said, well, this is it. And they laughed me off, and they said, there's no way, there's no chance you'll get that. Nobody gets that for a square meter in what was bottom of Rani. You'll never get that, ha, ha, ha. And I'm a bit darakwas now and again, I guess, hopefully in the spirit. And I went back, and I said, thank you. I do respect your humble opinions, all of the agents, but this is our marketing price. And for 7 months, there was nothing. Now, do you know how long is 7 months? Now, each time they mail me and say, like, la-di-da, I told you so, they phone me up and say, this boy wants it, but your price is just nowhere near where it should be. And I'll just humbly, never say, obviously, God said. I'll just humbly say, well, I believe this is the price, and we'll wait. Now, we need to move to Malmesbury. We need to sell our flat. We've got, this divine tension. It's not, we can't just run away, sell it for a bargain, and go for it. So we're between a rock and a hard place. Long story short, after 7 months, we just realized maybe there's something. Aren't we maybe bowing down to mammon? Aren't we greedy? Aren't we this? Aren't we that? And we just sit together and we just pray and we say, Lord, we know we need to go, but we can't go. This place is not selling. The market is laughing. The agents is laughing at us. God, what do we do? And we ask each other, myself and Edna, shouldn't we lower down the price? And I just tell her, well, I just heard God said, well, I just feel God dropped in my spirit, I haven't lowered the price. And she said, she gets that moment again, her eyes goes up, and she said, that's exactly what God said to me. He's not lowering the price. So we're like, okay, cool. Faith, arise. Market, bow down. Agents, be quiet. God has said. Anyway, we got our first offer a while later, and that was the asking price for the flat that God said. It was a record in the area, record per square meter. I was like, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Obviously, we made a couple of bucks, and I thought, well, God wants to make us rich, and we almost ended up in the wrong direction anyway. Maybe you've noted that later on, we both lost our jobs. So, funny enough, that was the wealth that God created for us to sustain us in Malmesbury for a while. So please don't get the wrong end of this testimony. Bottom line is, if the market tells you X, Y, and Z, and I don't take anything away from the work that Lente and these people do, obviously when God does not speak, you use your brain. You use what is said out there. And so please don't go and wreak havoc in the markets out there. But what I do say is, when God says something, God's word is sovereign. When God speaks, you'll have faith. If God didn't speak to me about that price, I would have still be laughing, and I would have still been in that flat with two kids. Praise God, it was God speaking. You get the heart. Faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. God spoke to Edna, God spoke to me, and there was unity. We had faith to say, thank you, madam, but no thank you, madam. And at the end of the day, well, she came back and said, well, look here, I just sold your flat. And she said it was so amazing. And I said, well, it was the Lord. And she was puzzled, and that just didn't go down very well. But anyway, that's a story for another day. Where are we for time? I think we're going to get only to one fruit, but I knew that beforehand. We're only going to get to the one fruit of God's voice today, and that's faith. Last testimony. We're going to stay on testimonies then. Now, we've moved out to Malmesbury, sold the flat for a record price, thought, well, we're the bee's knees. Didn't know that we're going to be out of jobs soon. We were out of jobs for quite a while. I had a job, but it wasn't a full income coming in from that. I just did bits and pieces here and there. Edna didn't take up a job again because God said we should wait. Now, even that for most people is quite weird. But what did we say to each other? God doesn't seek sacrifice. God seeks obedience. And in obedience, He'll give you the faith to do what you need to do. And secondly, then He'll provide. I like it when they say, where He leads, He feeds. I don't have a lot of the oulike goeikies, but yeah. Where He leads, He feeds. Where He guides, He provides. So we can do a song on that. And as we went through our 4 years of training and the stuff that God did, we started to realize that the answer was not the blood alone. The answer always was Christ Himself. A place out of the rat race for us was following God and being in ministry in our case. And that was just so awesome. Yet we came to a place where the spot haven't opened. There was a couple of opportunities because it was never God. And each time we'll hear from the Lord and then it won't work out. Where should we go? Where should we go? Where should we go? And the finances obviously ran out long ago. So we were at a place, and I've told the story to some of you last year, November. We were in a place where we had to sell within the question of a year. We had to sell both our cars. And what I had left was my DT125. It's not even a motorbike, according to somebody like on Philip. It's more like a Puchi or a Fiets with the engine. So that's what I had left, and now I'm 31 years old, and I've got my DT125, and I've got my family with two children. So it just, again, the picture just does not make sense. And I do say that with respect to mensen met poegies, but it just doesn't make sense, and it wasn't my picture. Man, it wasn't my picture. I thought, well-to-do lawyer with at least this and this and this in assets and this and this and this, well, maybe this and this in spirit, but I had a different picture. And now the whole world is looking at you and saying, what did you do with your life? You might have just gone and flushed it. And on the other hand, I'm again in that divine tension or between a rock and a hard place that, you know, in the kingdom, you can't make stuff. You can fabricate it and you can fake it, but it's not going to hold. I could have gone into ministry, but if it's not God's heart and if it's not His swing, the hit's going to miss. It's not going to work. That we've seen. And even if it's Him, then you need to stay with Him daily for it to work. Likewise with a business for a Christian or a marriage or a relationship or even a friendship. If you're not moving with Him, then we might as well not be moving at all. So now I'm again in this place last year. Now I've got this left. We're borrowing a bucky from my father-in-law. Not the best place to be in. Men, hell, jy het geswat vir hoeveel jaar. Nou leen jy my bucky. Wat maak jy? That wasn't his words, but that was just my thoughts for him in that moment. And then God comes and He ramas. God ramas. He speaks. His voice comes through. The voice of reason. The voice of truth. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of the things that is not working the Western way for you, God comes and He speaks. As you ask, as you abide, as you seek, God comes and speaks. And He speaks to me because I'm like, Lord, where have I missed it? I've certainly missed it. We've certainly gone astray, Lord. God just, in quiet time again, drops a psalm in my heart. And how it'll happen? You think it's your own thoughts. Later on, you realize it's not your own thoughts. You think sometimes it's your own voice, and later on, you realize, well, I couldn't have said that. That must be God. And you realize it's God. That's many a times how God speaks. It's not too spooky. It's not too weird, really. And you tend to catch it on quickly. If you're in this church, you'll definitely do so. I'm sure of that. Praise God. God just dropped Psalm 138 in my heart. A thankful heart. And it goes on, and I just read it. I'm like, Lord, what have I done with my life? Lord, what have I done with my Lord? Lord, what have I... And then I get to verse 8. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Lord, Your love is eternal. Do not abandon the work of Your hands. Now for that, that might be a verse for you. For me, it was a freaking sword. For me, it was a skop na die pale. For me, it was life. For me, it was living waters. For me, it was a face I would be found to kak again. You will preserve my life from the anger of my enemies. You will extend your hand. Your right hand will save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for my life. Poof. Massive, massive, massive. I had such a, I think especially I like to talk about culture or refer to culture, but I had this massive burden of performing and getting this thing right, of following God, of listening to this one thing that God said, and to get this thing right, but I couldn't. And God gave me a lifeline. I had my op 'n drip gesit, 'n geestelike drip, and he gave me that word. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for my life. And praise God, that wasn't just true last year before God brought breakthrough. It's still true today. As I follow him, that's a rhema word in my quiver. That's a rhema word, a patroon in my gun. So that was symbolism with this. What has God said to you? What is the ammo that God's given you to take out the enemy, to have faith, to know that he will fulfill the plans that he has for you? Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. Why do we have our merry moments? Why do we sit at his feet? Because we need the faith. And I believe he so desperately wants to give us the faith. But I can sing to you, I can dance to you, I can speak to you, I can rap to you. But I can't necessarily, maybe once or twice, it can happen, but it won't be me. But I can't give you the rhema word of God, the spoken word of the living God, of the living Father into your own heart. Because he knows you perfectly. He knows his plans for your life perfectly. So I want to encourage you. Let's go. Kom ons spits ons ore. Let's ask God for us each individually and for us as a congregation for that rhema, faithful word for our heart. Demi, will you mind just stringing a bit, please? I think the two-part series might go into a three-part series next week. Maybe just end off with a quote I read over the weekend. I love Smith Wigglesworth, and I don't know if you know who he is. You'll probably do. Go read up. We don't have time. He said, I'm not moved by what I see or hear. I am moved by what I believe. I'm not moved by what I see or hear. I am moved by what I believe. Let's trust God for giving us stuff to believe and to move out of that place. Let's close our eyes and pray, and we'll end off. Lord, I've not been this excited all weekend long. Or maybe just yesterday when I got home and saw Edna's eyes shine and just saw how you did miracles yesterday. But today, I just want to say thank you, Father God. I'm utterly excited, Lord. Ek is besonder opgewonde, God. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your voice, Lord. I thank you for personal, intimate relationship. Thank you, Father God. It's been your heart all the way long, Lord, to commune with us, Lord, to spend time with us, to speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that life and blessing is in that we can hear from you and obey, Lord. Not as slaves, but as sons. Hear and obey, not as slaves or orphans, but as sons and daughters. Lord, we pray for that freedom in this place. Let me just take a minute. Just take a minute and be quiet before God. Or if you believe something is bugging you, be honest and speak to Him. And surrender and open up your arms, open up your heart for Him to speak. To speak to you. I'm just going to take a minute. We're challenged in the gospel, as Jesus said, when we want to inherit the kingdom, we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to become like little children again. I want to challenge you, if it's on your heart to hear from the Lord in this week, will you raise your hand that we can pray? If you want to become free and become not irresponsible, not naive, but in Christ, biblically speaking, free like a child, to hear from God, to hear His Rhema word again. In this week, raise your hand and we can pray in faith that God will just speak to you in the way that He knows you and you know Him. Lord, I thank you for the hands that's gone up, Lord. Lord, I can just think, Lord, the way in which I want to commune and spend time and speak to and hold and whisper to Frida and Sophia, Lord. How much more do you want to do that with us, Lord? So, Lord, I just raise my hand and I say, Lord, I just want to be your child this week and I just want to hear from you, Lord. And likewise, those of us that have that hunger in this season, Lord, that have that hunger this morning, Lord, will you please keep on speaking, Lord, because you have been. But then you'll help us to hear. God, come and give us the faith to be the mountain movers that you called us to be, Lord. Lord, come and give us the faith through your word, Lord, to be the shakers of your kingdom that you've called us to be, Father God. Father God, come and speak identity in our hearts so that we can be the pioneers, the warriors, the wives, the husbands, the parents, the leaders, the servants that you've called us to be, God. God, I honor you. You are the voice above all voices. You are the God above all. And you are our King. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Thank you that you'll speak to us. Thank you that you'll enable us to hear. And that you'll enable us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.